Is that bells? Is that Christmas bells? Hey, everybody. Welcome back to This, That, and the Other Thing. I am Danielle, along with my joyful and triumphant co-host, Stephanie.
Ho, ho, ho. My voice has changed.
It's holiday season, as you can tell, or at least we're getting into it. But first thing first, anything new happening?
For me, no, not really. Yeah, nothing new exciting to report, but we are definitely ready for the holidays. It was like Halloween was over, and that night the kids were like, oh, we want to wear Christmas jammies.
Oh my.
And it was like Christmas pajamas, and fireplace was lit, and yeah, we're getting our decorations down and out, and probably by the time this airs, we'll have a tree up.
Awesome.
So yeah, that's pretty much what our house is like. We're decking all the halls.
Perfect. I saw a post online, and it was just like, Thanksgiving will not be forgotten. It will just be Halloween, Christmas, Christmas, Christmas. Thanksgiving Day is Thanksgiving, and then after that, all Christmas.
Yep, that's right.
Yep, for sure.
That's how I like it. What about you? What's all going on in your neck of the woods?
Yeah, pretty much nothing. It's the same. Yeah.
That's okay.
I changed a light bulb on my car today because I realized that was out last night. So that was fun.
That's good.
I felt pretty productive with that.
If you're ever driving the night ever anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. it was the first time. I don't know how long it's been out for. So there's that. But luckily, a trick that I do is turn on the fog lights because I have those.
Yes.
So at least that side of the car has something.
And right. To
hopefully
use.
I won't get pulled over for that. Knock on wood. Yeah. So that's what I did today.
That's very good. Well, and the other thing that's new is we're back together. Yay. We're in the studio today. Figure we're getting all snuggly and toasty. And
yeah, it's the holidays. We have to be together.
Yeah, basically. I mean, it's basically the holidays. We're just, we've decided.
Like since October, like it's Halloween. I think it's just holiday, 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 holiday.
Yep.
Why not just, it's all the holidays.
I've seen lots of trees, lots of trees.
Yes, yes.
And I mean, every year it's always been earlier and earlier with all the decorations in the stores, and this year it was like coexisting with Halloween and Christmas already. And
I went into Target to go get leftover Halloween candy 2 days at, like, I didn't go November 1st, I went November 2nd, zero Halloween candy. All Christmas was up, and I just wanted extra Halloween candy for 50% off. Like, no.
No, now they're selling you the Christmas candy. They're like, here you go. You want candy? Get the Christmas ones.
Right. So I got Christmas candy.
It worked then. It worked.
Definitely.
Their plan worked excellently.
Just need something. Disappointed, but then like pleasantly surprised. So it's fine.
What candy did you get?
Oh, I saw this Dove dark chocolate with mint.
Yum.
Yeah. And I'd never seen it before, and it's not new, but I just didn't realize it was in existence. So I got it.
Good.
It's the holiday season, and since we're in that era of whatever makes you happy, just do it at this point in our lives, like, why not? So Christmas is starting early, and we're jumping into the holiday season with Christmas wreaths as our life preservers.
A little pokey, but that's okay.
No problem. So yeah, we are going to read some classic and new holiday stories to you all, and hopefully that'll get you in the mood for Christmas too.
Let's do this.
So I don't know. Do you want to pick one first? We've got a handful of books here each, or stories. I guess I can go first.
Yeah.
Let's start with a nice classic one. I've got A Charlie Brown Christmas. And the book I have is actually from the library because I went to the library. I got a library card for the first time in like 20 years.
We love the library.
It's a real book. And the book is actually a collector's edition. Makes me feel like I don't want to touch it. It's special. So yes, A Charlie Brown Christmas. I'm getting a reading voice on here. Snowflakes floated in the crisp pine-scented air. The wind carried the joyful sounds of jingling bells, Christmas carols, and people wishing one another happy holidays. The greatest time of the year was finally here. Whipping across a frozen pond, the Peanuts gang was as happy as well, children at Christmas time, all except good old Charlie Brown. That sentence is weirdly.
I do remember this book being like, oh.
I think there's something wrong with me, Charlie Brown told Linus. I just don't understand Christmas. I like getting presents, sending cards, decorating trees, and all that. But I always end up feeling sad. Linus sighed. You're the only person I know who could turn a wonderful season like Christmas into a problem. Maybe Lucy's right. Of all the Charlie Browns in the world, you are the Charlie Brownest. Poor Charlie. Charlie Brown felt even sadder when he opened his empty mailbox. Rats. Nobody sent me a Christmas card today. I know nobody likes me, but why does the holiday season have to rub it in? Charlie Brown felt so depressed, he decided to see his psychiatrist, Lucy. He dropped a nickel in her can and sighed. I just don't understand Christmas. Instead of feeling happy, I feel sort of let down. You need to get involved, Lucy exclaimed. She knew just how to get her patient into the Christmas spirit. How would you like to direct our Christmas play? I'll meet you at the theater. Charlie Brown decided to give it a try. After all, things couldn't get much worse. On his way to the theater, Charlie Brown passed his dog. Snoopy was decorating his doghouse with heaps of shiny ornaments. What's going on here? Charlie asked. Snoopy showed him a flyer. Flyer said, find the true meaning of Christmas. Win money, money, money. Enter the Christmas lights and display contest. My own dog has gone commercial, Charlie Brown wailed. I can't stand it. He was sick of all the greedy buying and selling that had become Christmas. Helping his little sister Sally write a letter to Santa only made Charlie Brown feel worse. I've been extra good this year, so enclosed it is an extra long list of things I want, Sally began. Good grief, Charlie Brown's stomach hurt. What had happened to giving and sharing? Or perhaps you should just send money, Sally concluded. I would prefer tens and twenties. But Charlie Brown did not have time to lecture Sally about the meaning of Christmas. He had a show to direct. He hurried to the theater. Let's get down to work, Charlie Brown told the cast. It's the spirit of actors that counts, the interest they show in their director. Am I right? I said, am I right? But nobody was listening. They were all dancing to Schroeder's bouncing piano music. Stop the music, Charlie Brown shouted. Then he told Lucy to hand out the scripts and costumes. Do innkeepers' wives have naturally curly hair? Frida wondered. Pigpen promised to keep a clean inn. Sherman complained, every year I play a shepherd. Snoopy agreed to be all the animals, even some that weren't in the play. Lucy came up with five good reasons for Linus to learn his lines and get rid of that stupid blanket. But Linus found a way to keep his blanket in the show, as he should. The rehearsal went about as well as one of Charlie Brown's baseball games. Frida worried that Pigpen's dust was ruining her curls. Lucy called for a lunch break. Linus hid under his blanket. And instead of listening to the director, everyone danced to Schroeder's jazz. The usual scene.
The armpit sniff dance.
Frustrated, Charlie Brown finally called out, that does it. Lucy stopped snapping her fingers and asked, what's the matter, Charlie Brown? This Christmas play is all wrong, he wailed. Lucy tried to calm him. Let's face it. We all know Christmas is just a racket set up to make people buy lots of stuff they don't need. Charlie Brown shook his head. This is one play that won't be like that. We need the proper mood. What we need is a Christmas tree. That's it, Charlie Brown. We need a great, big, shiny aluminum tree, Lucy exclaimed. You get the tree, I'll handle this crowd, she said, taking charge of bossing everyone around. I'll take Linus with me, Charlie Brown said. The rest of you can practice your lines. Get the biggest aluminum tree you can find. Maybe painted pink, Lucy added. Charlie Brown felt a familiar knot in his stomach. I don't know, Linus. I just don't know, he said, sighing as the two boys walked to the Christmas tree lot. Soon they were surrounded by a fantastic forest of fake trees. Some were plastic or pink or even polka dotted. Gee, do they still make wooden Christmas trees? Linus wondered aloud. Then Charlie Brown pointed to a tiny tree, barely strong enough to hold on to its needles. He said, this little one seems to need a home. Linus worried about what Lucy would think, but Charlie Brown bought the tiny tree anyway. What kind of tree is that? They shrieked when the boys got back to the theater with the scrawny tree. You were supposed to get a good tree. You're hopeless, Charlie Brown. Completely hopeless, Violet scolded. Everyone laughed at the skinny tree, even Snoopy. Charlie Brown's heart sank. I guess you were right, Linus. I shouldn't have picked this little tree. I guess I really don't know what Christmas is all about, he wailed. Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about? Sure, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is about. Linus stepped into the spotlight and said, and there were shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord came upon them and said, fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy. For unto you is born this day a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God, peace on earth, goodwill to men. That is what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. Suddenly, Charlie Brown didn't care what anyone thought of him or his tree. He finally felt happy, the way he was supposed to feel at Christmas. Charlie Brown stepped onto the cold, silent night and looked up at the twinkling stars. Linus is right. I won't let all this greed spoil my Christmas. I'll decorate this little tree and show everyone it really will work in our play. Charlie Brown took a bright red ball off Snoopy's prize-winning doghouse. He hung the ball on the tiny tree. The tree slowly bent over until its top touched the ground. That was all it took to spoil Charlie Brown's mood. Arg, I've killed it. Everything I touch gets ruined. Charlie Brown walked away with his shoulders as bent as the little tree's trunk. Poor little tree. After Charlie Brown had left, the others found the tree. It's not a bad little tree, really, Linus said. He wrapped his blanket around his base. It just needs a little love. And the rest of the gang helped. In a flash, Snoopy's doghouse decorations had transformed the tree. The children gathered around the pretty little tree and hummed, "O Little Town of Bethlehem." They could almost see the shepherds guarding their flock by night. When Charlie Brown returned to the group, he could hardly believe his eyes. "What's going on here?" he shouted. "How had the tree become so beautiful?" Charlie Brown's heart filled with joy when he realized what everyone had done for his tree. It was a Christmas miracle. Linus, Lucy, and the rest of the gang smiled and shouted, "Merry Christmas, Charlie Brown!" And for Charlie Brown, it truly was the merriest Christmas ever. The
Yay.
End. Yes, I can hear it now.
That's what I hear when Charlie Brown is sad. It's like,
oh, yeah.
They use that in Arrested Development. When George Michael, the son, whenever he was upset, he walked with his head down and they Aww. Would play the Charlie Brown song. All right.
Your turn.
Okay. So that was a lovely classic story.
Yes.
I quite enjoyed it. I always enjoy seeing the movie or reading the book every year because Charlie Brown, he's the best.
Yeah. Classic story.
I'm going to switch things up a little bit here by reading a book. This woman writes all these different stories, mostly about punching people in the throat. So this is called Spending the Holidays with People I Want to Punch in the Throat.
I love it.
And it's a bunch of different short stories. And I just picked one here and we'll read it and see what she has to say. So This chapter is called Overachieving Elf on the Shelf Mommies. just a disclaimer that this has a... what do they call it now? Trigger warning?
Yeah.
Trigger warning. Yeah. This is talking about the elf on the shelf, not for little ears. So by now, we've all heard the adorable little elf on the shelf. Almost everyone I know has one. Some people even have two. I was feeling guilty for not having two. Apparently, when my kids are adults, they'll each want one for their childhood. Ugh. I wasn't looking forward to telling the Hubs why we needed to buy another elf, but luckily I didn't have to because my generous reader friend sent me one. And now it rounds out my collection. The elf is a handy little thing to have. The little bastard keeps my children in check this time of year. When there is even a hint of rebellion, all I have to do is say, "Elf," and my kids snap back in line. If he's so good, then why did you call him a bastard, you ask? Well, I called him a bastard because even though my children think he's magic, I'm the one doing all the magic, and I totally suck at it. I forget to move him all the time, and when I forget to spin, even more lies than usual. No, Santa can't give you the $400 Lego Death Star, even though he says he makes everything. He can't make Legos, and he has to actually go and buy them, and he can't spend that much money on you, or... Well, I don't know why he gave it to your friend last year for Christmas. I bet his mommy and daddy paid Santa to do that, and we don't pay Santa. Thanks a lot, asshole parents who give their kid the Death Star from Santa. As parents, let's all make a pact that any gift over $200 comes from Grandma and Grandpa rather than Santa, okay? It would make my life a lot easier. But back to our elf. Our elf has been a lazy SOB this year. He usually makes his first appearance Thanksgiving night. I get him out when I'm on my way out at 3 a.m. for Black Friday. This year we left town and I forgot. He waited until we came back and then he was ready to join our family. Since then, he's only gone away 4, maybe 5 times. I'm always forgetting to move him, and it should not be difficult. I am literally moving him from the top shelf in my kitchen to the bottom shelf and back again. I'm such a loser that I can't even do that right. I heard some overachieving moms talking one day about how they like to make their elf do naughty things. What exactly did that mean, I asked. Oh, you know, he bakes cookies in the night and leaves a huge mess for me to clean up in the morning. What the F? Yes, and one time last year, he took all the ornaments off our tree. Tee-hee-hee. Tee-hee-hee. Why in the world would I make my elf do something like that? I'm the one who has to clean up his mess and redecorate the tree. Also, my kid could ooh and ah over the magic of the elf for about 3 minutes until the shiny object caught their eye. I decided these women were insane. But then I started listening more closely and realized they are not alone. There are entire blogs out there right now dedicated to naughty, fun elf behavior. I read a blog by a woman named Danielle that pissed me off. I should have known she'd irritate me when I read her perky mom who loves to make amazing homemade memories with her kids. She's secretly downing Valium and vodka so she can be so damn perky and fun title for her blog. In case you haven't guessed, I'm probably unmedicated and I have the mood swings to prove it. This site has 101 fun ideas to do with your elf. 101. As a friend pointed out, there are only 25 days until Christmas. Why 101? I wanted to punch her as soon as I read her top two. Number one, have a marshmallow fight. Marshmallows everywhere. Number two, have a pillow fight. Feathers everywhere. Okay, seriously? Does she have a clue how much down pillow costs? The hell, I'm going to destroy one just so I could sweep it up in the morning. Or like I have the time, desire, or resources to make a red carpet entrance for a doll. I can barely get him out of the box and prop him up on the shelf. We haven't even read the book yet this year, and she wants me to literally roll out a red carpet for him. When does she do laundry? When does she work? And most important, when does she sleep? Number 20, make faces on school pictures with a marker. I lecture my children constantly on appropriate materials to write on with markers. A photograph is not one of those things. It would take years to undo that damage if I did that. I'd have mustaches on every photograph in my home. The elf did it. Read a book. Yeah, I tried that one on my own the other day. Didn't even need Danielle's help to come up with that one. The hubs didn't see him on the couch reading, and he sat on him. The kids couldn't find him because he wasn't on his usual shelf. So much for trying to think outside the box. Shelf. 32. Switch clothes from one closet to another. And I do this when? At 4 a.m. when everyone is asleep and I'm hauling dresses and jeans from one room to another, and we're assuming my children would even notice I did this? 42. Take picture of child sleeping. This is one I would do just to scare the snot out of them. I'd like to perch the elf right on their sleeping heads and take a picture of that. I could probably whip up a picture out of the summer when they're being bad and it would scare them enough to knock it off. I'll bookmark that one. 44. Knit a scarf or hat. When I'm not trashing my house with feathers or flour or drawing on the walls, I'll whip up a handmade hat, psycho. 64. Learn multiplication facts. Huh? Just set them on the table with flashcards? I guess I could do that. But it sounds just as boring as my shelf. 80. Elf packs school lunches but mixes up everyone's lunches. Each child receives siblings' lunch. Great conversation piece at dinner. Oh, or the source of a meltdown at school. You pick. 93. Sit on toilet outside on front lawn if you happen to have an extra toilet bowl being stored. WTF, who has an extra toilet they can put in their yard? Either she's grasping at straws to get to 101 or she's white trash. He's called the elf on the shelf, not the elf who skydives, takes bubble baths, and shaves the dog. Leave him on the shelf so the rest of us slackers don't look so bad. I think I'm going to lay my elf on his shelf, tape wires and hoses to him, and tell my kids he's in a coma and hopefully he'll recover before Christmas. That should give me some flexibility. And see.
I love it so much.
Pretty entertaining.
Yeah. If I were her, I'd probably want to punch that lady in the throat too.
It's a lot. It's a lot. But a lot of moms do it. I do it, but I haven't gotten that crazy. But I feel like this is the year. Gonna have to step it up. All the kids start talking, and then it's why isn't my elf doing these things?
Oh boy. I mean, the ideas are so cute, and I would totally love to do it, but I didn't even think about the fact that, like, there's probably a lot of cleanup afterwards and
yes.
And annoying things through the middle of the night.
Mm-mm. Lots of things to get. You're right. And you're dead tired at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And you have to remember it. And it's a lot. I think the best way to go about it is kind of pre-plan it. So you have a checklist and then each day you check it off. You know, I know which one I'm doing.
Yeah.
Ours, we also don't have the official elf on the shelf. You have like a cute little one. I think I mentioned before. He's just a cute. He's just a cute.
He's just a cute shelf.
Yeah,
he's a cute shelf. He's a cute shelf. He's a cute elf.
He's a shelfy elf. Socks is his name. So, yeah, they look forward to him coming out.
All right, I got another kind of classic one. You all have heard the "if you buy a mouse a cookie" or "if you
love it."
Yeah, if you give a mouse a cookie.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mouse a muffin. Pig a donut now.
Oh man, there's a whole barnyard here.
There's something with the dog.
Oh, if you give a pig a pancake.
Pancake and dog a donut.
There we go.
That's it.
So this one is a little Christmas version, and it's called "If You Take a Mouse to the Movies," which doesn't sound in the title very Christmassy, but the cover sure looks Christmassy.
It's cute.
If you take a mouse to the movies, he'll ask you for some popcorn. If you give him the popcorn, he'll want to string it together. Then he'll want to hang it on a Christmas tree. There we go. Now we got some Christmas. You'll have to buy him one. On the way home, he'll see a snowman in your neighbor's yard. He'll want to make one of his own. Then he'll need a carrot for a nose. When he's all finished, he'll decide to build a fort. He'll ask you to help him. Then he'll want to make some snowballs and have a snowball fight. Playing outside will make him cold. He'll want to go inside and curl up on the couch. He'll ask you for a blanket. Oh, this mouse has little candy cane underwear on. Once he's nice and cozy, he'll want to listen to Christmas carols. You'll have to find some on the radio. He'll probably sing along. The carols will remind him of the Christmas tree, so he'll want to make ornaments. You'll get him some paper and glue. He'll ask you for glitter. Because what's Christmas without glitter?
Gotta have it.
When the ornaments are done, and there's glitter everywhere, he'll hang them up. Then he'll stand back to look at the tree. He'll notice his popcorn string is missing. Oh no. So he'll want to make another one. He'll ask you for some popcorn. And chances are, when you give him the popcorn, he'll want you to take him to the movies. The end.
So cute.
Very easy. Or very sweet, I should say.
Both. Now I want popcorn and to go to the movies.
Yay.
Hmm. Okay, this is actually a movie based, the story that was written by John Hughes and directed by Chris Columbus, a very popular holiday classic. I watch it all year round. My child has birthday parties themed around it. And every day, on a daily basis, pretends to be the main character. I present Home Alone. I probably don't even need a book. I could probably just recite it. 'Twas three nights before Christmas, and the McAllister family was getting ready to leave for vacation. Everyone was busy packing. Everyone except Kevin, who was busy getting into trouble. Straight to bed, his mother demanded. That's enough trouble for one day. It's a little different than the movie. Lying in bed, Kevin could hear voices and laughter coming from downstairs. Everyone was having fun without him. I hope I never see my family again, Kevin thought. I wish I was home alone. The next morning, the house was very, very quiet. No one was shouting. No one was running around. No one was telling Kevin to hurry up and eat his breakfast. No one was home. Finally, Kevin realized what had happened. I made my family disappear! For the first time ever, Kevin had the house all to himself. He raced up and down the halls. He jumped on all the beds. He ate a giant ice cream sundae for breakfast. After watching hours of television, searching through his brother's private stuff, and riding a toboggan down a giant mountain, he even tried his father's aftershave lotion. This was not a good idea. It stinks. But sometimes it was scary to be all alone. Kevin was especially afraid of his next-door neighbor, Old Man Marley. He was the scariest person who lived on their block. And that night, Kevin heard whispers outside the living room window. Burglars were snooping around his house. You see, Marv said, most of the houses on this street are empty. Everyone is away for the holidays. Perfect, Harry said. We'll come back tomorrow night and steal everything. Kevin was so scared. He dialed 911, but the telephone didn't work. The wires had been damaged in a snowstorm. After hiding under his parents' bed for a long time, Kevin decided he was being silly. Only a wimp would be hiding, and I can't be a wimp. I'm the grown-up of this house, and I need to act like one. The next day was Christmas Eve, and Kevin had plenty of grown-up work to do. He walked to the grocery store and bought food. He put his clothes in the washing machine.
I don't remember that in the movie.
Yeah, down in the basement. Got scared of the furnace.
Oh, the furnace, right.
He decorated a Christmas tree. And he, I don't know why that made me laugh so much, just seeing him do laundry. I don't know what's wrong. This lady's face is actually drawn pretty good. He decorated a Christmas tree and he hung Christmas stockings for his parents and brothers and sisters. I miss you guys, he whispered. I wish you would come back. Kevin's family always went to church on Christmas Eve, so that's what Kevin did too. After the service ended, he saw his scary next-door neighbor, Old Man Marley, sitting nearby. You don't have to be afraid, Mr. Marley said. The kids in the neighborhood have lots of spooky stories about me, but they're not true. After they talked for a while, Kevin realized that Mr. Marley was, in fact, a very nice man. Are you visiting anyone for Christmas? Kevin asked. No, Mr. Marley said. I miss my family, and I'd like to see them, but my son and I are fighting. I said some angry words that I didn't mean. Kevin knew exactly how Mr. Marley felt. He remembered wishing his family would disappear, but he hadn't really meant it. You should try talking to your son, Kevin said. Maybe I will, said Mr. Marley. When Kevin left the church, it was already dark. The burglars would be coming soon. He ran all the way home. Kevin made a plan that was full of traps. He scattered toy cars, smeared tar on the basement steps. He made a big pile of feathers, hid sharp ornaments under the windowsills. He sprayed water on the front steps, tied paint cans to ropes. He stretched a tripwire through the hallway and built an escape route to his treehouse. At 9 o'clock, Harry and Marv returned to the McAllisters' house, ready to steal everything inside. They didn't know that Kevin had sprayed water all over the steps, or that the water had frozen into slick, slippery ice. The burglars stumbled into all of Kevin's traps. Yeah! Yeah! Wah! Ew! Marv and Harry slipped on the toy cars. What? Oh, and were knocked over by paint cans.
No.
Kevin escaped through his bedroom window and ran next door to his neighbor's house. Unfortunately, Harry and Marv were close behind. Now we've got you, kid, Harry said. Mr. Marley arrived just in time. Whack, whack. He bonked the burglars with his snow shovel and called the police. Then he brought Kevin home. That night, Kevin left a note for Santa Claus along with some milk and cookies. He couldn't wait for Christmas morning. Dear Santa, I don't need any presents. Just bring my family back. Love, Kevin McAllister. When he woke up the next day, Kevin rushed into the living room. Mom? Dad? Is anyone here? No one answered him. Then he heard a familiar voice. Kevin? Is that you? His mother was home. I missed you so much, he said, giving her a giant hug. I missed you too, she said. Where are the others? Kevin asked. The front door flew open, and there they were, his father, brothers, and sisters. Everyone was home at last. Are you okay? His father asked. I'm just happy you're all back, Kevin said. Merry Christmas. And at the end, there's little Mr. Marley with his family walking Yay. The street. That's the best part. I love that part.
That was a cute one.
Kevin! It's a good little summary.
Mm-hmm.
Misses a lot of it, but you know, it's a movie into a book. So
I didn't think it was a book first, right?
No, yeah. No. They wrote the movie and they just turned this into
It's cute.
It's cute pictures too.
All right, I got another new one here. Never heard of this before, never read this one. It's called The Queen of Christmas. And there's a nice picture of a girl on the cover, and she's got a list. And we all know I love lists, and this is what drew me to this book. Okay. So, I present to you the Queen of Christmas. Christmas was only 7 days away. As the self-appointed Queen of Christmas, Anne Estelle had a lot to do to make sure everything went exactly the way she wanted. So many wonderful things happened around Christmas time, she didn't want to miss anything. But the most important thing, at least in Anne Estelle's mind, was the list. Yes, lists are important. The list was a very, very long piece of paper on which Anne Estelle had written every single solitary item she had ever wanted or could even imagine wanting at some later date. Whew. She had started the list right after Christmas last year. Wow. It was a little long, but she couldn't see wasting a golden gift-getting opportunity like Christmas. Christmas was only 6 days away. Anne Estelle and her mother got ready to make gazillions of cookies, as they did every year for friends and family. It was so much fun that Anne Estelle almost forgot the list. But then she had a thought. Shouldn't the Queen of Christmas have her very own apron just her size? Anne Estelle added an apron fit for a queen to the list. She was happy to see there was a little more room left in case she had thought of anything else. Christmas was only 5 days away. It snowed and snowed. Anne Estelle and her father got out the old wooden sled that had been his when he was little. It was the best sled in the world and went down the hill just as fast as could be. But Anne Estelle thought it would be nice to have a brand new plastic sled. She put this on the list as soon as they got home. Christmas was only 4 days away. Anne Estelle's grandmother was coming to stay for the whole rest of Christmas vacation. Anne Estelle loved her grandmother. She couldn't wait to go ice skating with her, as they did every year when she visited. When they got to the ice rink, her grandmother showed her how to do figure eights. and Estelle thought she would do figure eights much better in a sparkly red skating outfit, she decided to squeeze the red skating outfit with sparkles onto the list. Christmas was only 3 days away. The Queen of Christmas built a magnificent snowman with a carrot nose, black button eyes, and a warm woolen hat. He was even better than the snowman she built last year. Unfortunately, Anastelle lost a mitten in the snow. Oh well, she said to herself, she just put mittens on the list. Christmas was only 2 days away. Anastelle's family, of course, went caroling with all their neighbors, just as they did every year. It was so much fun. The queen wore her Christmas crown and sang the loudest of anyone. I could probably do this professionally if I just had a piano to practice on, thought Anastelle. Piano went on the list. Christmas was just one day away. Anastelle, her mother and father, and her grandmother brought the boxes of familiar old ornaments up from the basement. They're doing this one day before Christmas? Wow. It took all day to decorate the tree because friends kept dropping by to say Merry Christmas. Yeah, Anastelle thought there had probably never been a Christmas Eve that was so much fun. Anastelle hadn't thought about the list all day. Right before her bed, her father reminded her to leave it next to Santa's milk and plate of cookies. Anastelle read it over carefully. She hoped she hadn't forgotten anything because that would make Christmas not quite as wonderful as it should be. As she tapped her pencil against her lip, her father politely cleared his throat. Well, said Anastelle, I guess I've done all I can here to make Christmas perfect. Good night, everybody. And with that, the list was finally finished. On Christmas morning, Anastelle ran downstairs to see what Santa had brought. Even though she didn't get everything on her list, she was surprised to find that the gifts she did get were absolutely perfect. And just as Anastelle finished opening her presents, all of her aunts and uncles and cousins arrived. The Christmas celebration began in earnest. Anastelle and her cousins played hide-and-seek and charades. Sounds like my Christmas. That's weird. They watched old Christmas movies on TV. They ate so many cookies that Anastelle thought she would never have room for Christmas dinner, but somehow she did. Late that night, after singing carols and telling stories, everyone went home. Anastelle's parents finally tucked her into bed. It was Christmas exactly the way I wanted, said Anastelle to her mother and father as she curled up under the covers, ice skating with Grandma, baking the cookies, Christmas caroling, decorating the tree. What about the presents you got that were on your list? Whispered her father as he turned out the light. Oh, Dad, said Anastelle, it's not just the presents that matter. Don't you know that? He kissed her, but the Queen of Christmas had fallen asleep without thinking of even one thing to put on next year's list. The end. Well, I would have wanted everything on my list, but like, that's okay. It worked out. She had a good Christmas. That's interesting.
Christmas queen. Queen of Christmas?
The Christmas queen who wanted everything and got none of it.
Yeah.
No, that was cute. I liked it. And now it's time for something to know.
The first TV adaptation of The Hobbit was produced in 1977 by Rankin Bass, the same company that created the stop-motion 1964 Christmas special Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. You can watch a YouTube clip from The Hobbit adaptation online, and you can find it in most small video stores that might still exist. I don't know. The most intriguing thing about casting is the fact that John Huston, most famous for directing The Maltese Falcon and The African Queen, voices Gandalf. The same company would go on to adapt the third part of Tolkien's Lord of the Rings in the 1980 animated musical film The Return of the King. Charles Dickens wrote A Christmas Carol in just 6 weeks, and after 5 days of it being published, only selling 6,000 copies, which is quite a feat, the book did little to solve his financial problems. This was because he insisted on a book jacket design that was costly to produce but made cheaply available to the public, so that the book could reach the largest number of people possible. However, the book would go on and do very well and help Mr. Dickens out quite feasibly.
And now you know. Yes, something that you should always know, and we'd always like to mention, Buzzsprout. It gets your show listed in every major podcast platform. They'll set you up with a podcast website, audio players you can drop into other websites, analytics to see how people are listening, and so much more.
Following the link in our show notes, lets Buzzsprout know we sent you, gets you a $20 Amazon gift card when you sign up for a paid plan, and helps support our show. So, if you're ready to get behind the mic and hit record, let Buzzsprout help you on your way.
And through this holiday season, someone that can help, Instacart. It's the go-to service for quick and effective grocery delivery. You can get your groceries delivered as quick as 1 hour with Instacart.
And they definitely have expanded now, so there are other stores on this list, so you should check it out more than groceries, especially like Danielle said, around the holidays. You can check them out by going to instacart.olo.iyb.net/thisadpod for their current promos and selection.
All right. So I hope everybody got into the holiday spirit with these stories and is very excited for Christmas, even though it's, you know, I don't even know, over a month and a half away. Plenty of time to enjoy this season. So I guess, you know, if you haven't, go check us out on Instagram and not really Twitter, thisthat_pod, and our website, thisthatpod.com. Definitely during this holiday time, we'd love to hear from you. So don't forget our new voice.
That would be the best present. We would love to hear from you. Please leave us. We want to hear your voice.
So that's 848-305-8830. And again, 848-305-8830. For my holly jolly co-host, Stephanie, I am Danielle. And remember, with friends, anything is possible.
Bye. This, That, and the Other Thing with Danielle Messina and Stephanie Rossi is recorded at Landbridge Records. Special thanks to Rigby for providing our theme song and incidentals. Be sure to check us out on Instagram and Twitter at thisthat_pod and our website, thisthatpod.com.
Then Christmas tree. Oh my God. Then Charlie Brown pointed to it. Yes, Christmas tree pointed to a tiny tree. Okay. Christmas caroling.